Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda, and it is my heartfelt prayer that the Lord of glory, the Lord of all grace, the God who truly, deeply loves his people, that he may bless you today in his powerful word and by his spirit as we receive the wonderful truth that we find in Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 1 through 6. These glorious verses tell us about God's great work of uniting his people in the body of Christ and how it is that we are truly united spiritually. And we are united for several reasons. We're going to take a look at those reasons today as we enjoy the scripture together. Just a reminder that we really are so blessed today, my friends, because our great God, by his Spirit, will bring the truth, his word, into our minds and into our hearts. And by his powerful, gracious operation, he will bring grace through the truth into our hearts, into our lives, and we shall be blessed with grace from God as it comes to us by his Spirit and in his word. May the Lord purify our hearts by faith. May he forgive all of our sins, and may he bless this word to our hearts, and may it be truly a spiritual word that transforms us once again. We give him glory, and we thank him for his awesome truth that he reveals to us in the scripture, that he blesses us with. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. You can learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. That's www.actionuganda.net. If you haven't yet seen our website, let me encourage you to view it. There are good Christian teaching materials posted there. There are also audio sermons and audio readings. There are photos. There are descriptions of our ministry components. There are good links to excellent Bible teaching websites that our friends host. For instance, you'll find there a link to a site entitled Spurgeon Gems. That is maintained by a good friend of ours, Emmett O'Donnell in Texas. And there you'll find all of Charles Spurgeon's blessed sermons available. And so you can go to Spurgeon Gems via our link page and download those sermons and be blessed as you enjoy powerful and truly divinely blessed preaching that came from Charles Spurgeon, a servant of God. You'll also find other teaching sites there. And so let me encourage you to view our website, www.actionuganda.net. My friends, let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gospel, and that we live in a day when the gospel is really coming fully into the nations via the internet and via radio, and Lord, via the various means of technology that you have given man grace to devise and use. Lord, we thank you that in all of these technological means that you transmit your word, you bring the truth, the Bible, to people everywhere on the globe, that they too may learn of God and learn of their sin and come to Christ, the Savior of the world, and so be saved, just as you have blessed us with that great salvation. Lord, thank you for the word that we shall receive now today. And I pray that its influence, its effect, its power would be such that we would have a much greater understanding of our real unity in the body of Christ and our real unity in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the precious word. Bless it to my hearers' hearts, and bless it to my heart that I might preach with grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, here is the word of God in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1 through verse 6, the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. I, therefore, The prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the word that we have received. My friends, we're really focusing on verses 4 through 6 today. We have been talking about the glorious work of the Spirit to transform our hearts, to make us humble and patient, to give us love so that we bear with other believers who still have remaining sin, a remnant of sin as we do, and that he teaches us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is, that we are bound to one another in this peace which the Spirit brings about and in this unity which we are encouraged to maintain one with another, that we bear with one another and continue with one another, though we have sins and though we have faults in the body of Christ. And we find in verse 4 one of the great reasons for this encouragement that Paul is giving us about maintaining love and unity and being patient with one another, continuing with one another in worship. And that is because of the nature of the Godhood, the Godhood. That is, we see that we are called to a oneness and a unity in the Spirit because of the nature of God. And his persons are mentioned here. We find the word one is used 7 times in these 2 verses. 3 times it's used in reference to the persons of the Godhood. And so we find that the Spirit is mentioned in verse 4, and that the Lord is mentioned in verse 5. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in verse 6, the God and Father of all is mentioned. And so because God is united in his nature, 3 persons yet one essence, a Trinity in unity, we are encouraged to be united and maintain peace and love with one another. And we find also that we are taught by Paul that it is because of the nature of our union with Christ, and it is because of the nature of God's aspects of salvation that are given to us here, that we are to maintain this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so the nature of God will lead us to maintain unity. The nature of our salvation will lead us to maintain unity. The nature of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ will lead us to maintain unity with those who are truly united to the Lord by faith as we are. And so we find here in verse 4 that Paul tells us that there is one body. This is a reference to the church, the spiritual body of Christ, which is indivisible. And the uniting principle or control of the spiritual body is exerted by the Spirit. Christ prayed for it, and that uniting principle is love and peace. We are maintained in our spiritual unity one with another because of the grace of God given by the Spirit as he produces love and peace in our hearts, and we express that love and peace to others. And so one body here refers to the spiritual body, which is truly indivisible. It cannot be separated. It cannot be divided. In fact, each individual member of the body ultimately is united to Christ and to God through Christ and to one another by the same Spirit. And so the indivisible body is a reflection of the spiritual unity that God has built into us and in which he has united us one to another. And so the body, the one body, is blessed by the one Spirit. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit of God, who is the person of the Godhood or Godhead, who is intimately involved in our lives. It is the Spirit that dwells with us. It is the Spirit that we dwell in. And it is the Spirit who produces this unity and the fruit that we find in Galatians 5, this fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. Perhaps we could understand that fruit as being really communicated to us in the love of God, and that these are simply various aspects of his great love for us. And so the one Spirit, the indivisible Spirit, the Spirit who cannot be separated, is the Spirit who ministers to the one body. And so you see, because of the nature of God and because of the nature of our salvation, because of the nature of the work of God in the church, we are called in this high calling to true humility and true love, true forgiveness, and true ability to lovingly, patiently bear with one another. Paul teaches us here another aspect of our salvation by which we are united, that there is one hope of our calling. Each of us were called by God into the body, and we were all called in one hope of our calling. One hope of our calling. This refers to the truth, my friends, that we are all called to eternal salvation. We have been effectively, spiritually called from our hearts, and the one calling of God has come to each one of us, each one of the elect. And so we share in this call to eternal life and to salvation. We share in this calling of God, which raises us up from spiritual death when we are regenerated, and we share in this calling which will lead us to glory, to our final glorification. And so in verse 5, we are also encouraged to unity and love because there is but one Lord. One Lord. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior of the world. There are not many ways to God, who is essentially united in his nature and who essentially unites others, unites his elect children to himself through the one Lord Jesus Christ. There is one Lord and one way to the Father, that is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we just marvel at Paul's understanding and his teaching, all coming from God the Spirit, that we are called to unity because the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, is indivisible. He cannot be divided. He is one unity, one Lord. He is the Lord of the church. And then we are called to unity because of the aspect that we are bound in one faith. This speaks of the essential doctrine, the essential teaching that all true Christians, all of the elect, are in absolute agreement about. There are secondary doctrines and tertiary doctrines, that is, doctrines of third importance, that we may not quite see the same, but we are bound in one faith in this essential unity, meaning that every truly saved person will agree to the essentials. Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Jesus Christ is true God and true man, for instance. We are justified by faith alone. We are saved by grace alone, by Christ alone, not by works. We are saved through the inerrant truth, the Bible, the very authoritative, perfect word of the one living God. We are saved through the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth that God is three persons, yet one unity, that He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we have come to believe. We are saved by the gift of faith given to us from God. He has given us faith so that we have the teaching of the Spirit, that we might hear and understand and believe in the essential doctrines of our faith. I've just shared with you some of those essential doctrines and important doctrines, and there are others. But again, we are so spiritually united to one another that Paul describes that we believe in the body and we are one faith. And now he explains to us that there is one baptism. And so the real reference here, the real understanding here is not to a type of baptism, that is a mode of baptism. It's not a reference to whether we are submerged in water, if we are sprinkled with water, if there's a little water poured over our head. No, that's not the reference here. He's not talking about the mode of our baptism, and he's surely not talking about baptismal regeneration. That is, that we are regenerated simply by the rite of baptism. That doesn't square with the apostles' doctrine at all. We are saved by faith. The one who believes in his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and who truly repents is saved. Faith and repentance always go hand in hand. In the true salvation of the elect, they are never separated. The man who truly believes truly repents. The man who truly repents truly believes. And so this aspect of our unity, one baptism, is a reference to the essential nature of our baptism. That is, that we are baptized into the Spirit. And so the signification of our baptism is that we have been united to Christ. We have believed in God, in Jesus Christ. We have repented of our sins so that we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God in Christ. And so it is that when we are united to Him, we are baptized into Christ. We come under His rule and authority. We come to obey Him. And so the rite of baptism is not essential to our salvation, but the fact that we are baptized into Christ is the essential issue, or we would call that regeneration. And so the rite, the external ordinance of baptism, merely shows in this powerful and beautiful way that we have been spiritually united to Christ. We have died to sin with Him, Christ crucified. We have been raised up to life with Him, Christ resurrected from the dead. And so, my friends, we see in verse 6 that we have a further call to unity because there is one God and Father of all. And notice here that Paul calls Him God and Father of all. He is the God of all, and He is the Father, the Creator of all. And so God, in His essential nature, the Almighty, the Father, is in perfect unity. He is united to the Son and the Spirit. We've mentioned that. But God the Father is indivisible in His essential nature. There is one God, and He is one in Himself. He cannot be separated. He cannot be divided. He is united in His very nature. And the God and Father that is the God and Father in the truest saving sense, the God and Father of the church, of his people, of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is God and Father, the Almighty, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord. And so God himself, the united God, the God of absolute character and integrity, the God who cannot change, the God who cannot increase, the God who cannot diminish, the God who is eternally the same, all-sufficient in himself, all-blessed, all-glorious, all-satisfied in himself, the very Almighty, the Creator, the God and Father of all, who is the highest, the Most High God, is also the God who is in his church and working through his church, through all of the members of his church. The God and Father who is above all, here specifically referring to the church, who controls the church, who loves the church, who has created the church, who governs the church, who moves the church, who moment by moment gives the church as a body its life, and moment by moment gives the individual members of the church its very life and grace and blessing. This God and Father who is above all is also working through all who are united in the church. And so the idea here, the truth is that God himself, God the Father, is present in his church to work through its members individually to achieve and accomplish his great and glorious purposes for the church. Let us not forget, we think so often of the nearness of the Spirit and of the blessedness and nearness of Jesus, but let us not forget the nearness of our God and Father, the one above all, who is working through us, his Spirit in us, working through us, reaching to others through us. He is the great God and Father of outreach. He reaches us. He comes to dwell in us, and he reaches through us to each other. He is mightily working through all, again, through the body, the universal body, through the local body, through the individuals who comprise the very church of the living God. And this great God and Father is in us all, we find there. What awesome encouragement about the nearness of God. He is in us all. He is in us as individuals, and he is in us as local expressions of the church. When two or three meet, God is there with us in our midst, and he is with us in the greatest sense, the universal sense, that everywhere where true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are found individually and together, even in the smallest of groupings where two or three are found, or when the huge churches that are found meet, where Jesus is truly worshipped, then God is found to be in us all. And so, praise the Lord. We are bound to one another. He has saved us. We have been washed from our sins. We are justified. We have become the children of God. And God meets with us and is with us in our very midst. And so, because of the nature of God, because of the nature of our union to Christ, because of the nature of these aspects of our great salvation that the apostle by the Spirit gives us, we see that we are truly united in a most fundamental and basic sense. God has done that. He has united us. And so we are to cooperate with the Spirit. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We are with effort to remember the importance of unity. And we are to dwell together. How pleasant and good it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. The scripture says it is a precious unity that we enjoy. It is a blessed unity that we enjoy. And it is precious as was the holy anointing oil that fell down from the anointed head of Aaron, the high priest of the Old Testament dispensation. That fragrant, refreshing blessing from God, the anointing oil would fall from his head upon his royal and holy clothes as he served as the great high priest of Israel in the very tabernacle of God. And so it was that this essential unity, this blessing of loving one another and holding to one another and bearing with one another in love, is likened to the blessing of the precious anointing oil that was upon Aaron, the high priest. And so, my friends, let us enjoy these glorious truths today. Let us grow in the truth, and let us now understand in a much better way our real oneness with all true believers, and let us, in understanding in a better way this essential unity that we have with one another, all made by God, not produced by us, we cooperate in it, we obey God as he tells us to maintain unity, but it is God who has created this unity that we share with fellow believers. Let us do all that we can to remember and grow in unity and love with one another. Truly, then the Lord will have his glory, and the wonderful love of God will increase in our hearts, in our churches, in our cultures, as we understand this unity that God has created, that we are blessed to enjoy. And may we be quick to always forgive and always return justice and show mercy. And when we are harmed because we do fail, or when we sin and fail others, let us be quick to go to those we have injured and confess our sin as necessary and bind up that brokenness that has happened, and maintain unity and love one another in the Spirit of Christ, and so glorify God and enjoy him. Father, we thank you for the truth that we've just seen today. And I pray, oh God, that your Spirit will work powerfully through the Word, and that we will be built up in our understanding of your essential nature and of the essential nature of our salvation, our union to Christ, and our union to one another in these aspects of our salvation. And so that we would be very quick to be friendly and loving and kind and forgiving and humble and patient and committed to always do good to your especial children, your blood-bought people, and love all people, and so glorify you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.